Blog Talk Radio.
We don't want no devils in the house.
Yes,
we want the Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Yes,
Lord. Have the mercy.
Yes,
Jesus, praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, God.
Yes,
we don't want the
ultra light beam, we on a ultra light beam. This is a God dream, this is a God dream. This is everything. This is everything. Deliver us serenity, deliver us peace, deliver us love, and we know we need it. You know we need it. You know we need it. Then mama need your love. Oh, pray for Paris. Pray for the parents. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. We on a ultralight beam. We on a ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything. Everything.
I'm trying to keep my faith, but I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel safe, and in my holy war.
The pressure, not blessing. Why, oh, why you do me wrong? You persecute the weak because it makes you feel so strong. Don't have much friends to fight, so I look to the light. Don't make these wrongs turn right. Head up high, I look to the light. Hey, cause I know that you'll make everything alright. And I know that you'll take good care of your child. Oh, no. I'm afraid of the night, cause I look to the light.
Just a few housekeeping chores before we get started, and your gracious host comes online. Tonight, you are in one of the best places that you could ever be, and for that, you should just go ahead and give yourself a round of applause. Real quick, we'd like to give you a disclaimer. The show is not responsible for anything that is said on the show. There's your disclaimer. During the show, if you are vibing with us, you feel what we're saying, and you would love to just give us a love token, where you're going to see at the bottom of the screen, it's going to say Cash App Tyron Joe, $ Tyron Joe, T-Y-R-E-N-J-O. Anything that you can give would be greatly appreciated. A one, a two, or a few. We greatly appreciate it. Also, if you would like to be a sponsor of the program, please go to our Instagram page at BZNZ Talk. At BZNZ Talk, our Instagram page. Also, you can go to our Facebook page at BZNZ Talk, at BZNZ Talk, and we will be glad to work with you. And also a quick reminder throughout the show, I want to let you know that the likes are free, the dislikes are free, the love button is free, the share button is free, and the subscribe button is free. Five things while you're viewing this broadcast, five things while you're learning and growing, five things that is for free, and we would love for you to partake in that during the program. Last but not least, once again, we want to thank you all for tuning in to our program, broadcast our live stream, because you are the ones that run the show. Thank you all. Peace. Be blessed.
We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. Situationships and relations. Tyron Joe, the host, start the conversation. Too much we gotta learn. 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 BZNZ, BZNZ, Internet Talk Radio. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. Situationships and relations. Carrying on the host of the conversation. What we gotta learn? What we gotta learn?
Check the mic too.
You are now tuned into BZNZ Internet Talk Radio, where the relationship talk is the conversation that never sleeps and the payoff is never cheap.
That's right. That's right. The payoff is never, ever cheap. Man, we are, man, so happy and thankful and appreciative to be here tonight here at the Gary Muslim Center. We're going to have our manhood talk tonight, becoming the priest of your own home. And we got some great panelists tonight, and we got some more that's coming. But before we get started, we want to have Brother John come up and talk to everyone about the painting class that's here at the Muslim Center. Sit right there. You can sit right there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What? Brothers and sisters, my name is John Muhammad, and I'm one of the brothers who, I'm a retired painter, and it's at that point in life where I feel it's time to give back. And every Saturday here at the Gary Muslim Center, we have painting class at 1 o'clock every Saturday, from 1 till 2:30 on Saturdays. Everyone is welcome, especially for the youth. That's male and female, from age 10 on up, you see. We've even had senior ladies in here learning how to paint, and we will teach anyone that's interested in painting how to paint. We teach all the beginners and the ones that are already painting. Maybe we can teach you a little bit how to enhance what you already know. So please come out and be with us. And it's that point, like I say, we want to give back. Because we're interested in our youth. We want to, you know, our youth is our future. Mm-hmm. So we want to do things that's going to be advantageous for our youth and their future. And we all want a good future, so we want a good future for ourselves and our youth. So encourage your youth to come out. If you got some youth that want to learn how to paint, that's the trade that we're working with right now. And there may be some other tradesmen that will come on board and teach also, give back. So this is the spirit that we have around here, and we invite anyone to come, male and female, every Saturday at 1 p.m. until about 2:30 p.m. Thank you so much, and we look to see you and come out and be with us. You know, we'll all have coffee together and learn how to learn a trade. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother John. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what it's about. A lot of people want to make nice money. They want to make good money. And picking up a trade is certainly the way to do it, okay? Working at McDonald's and Ultra and Stryker Van Til ain't going to cut it, especially around this time of year. You want to what? You want a nice car, a nice home, pick up you a trade. So thank you, Brother John. Well, we're not gonna waste no time. We're gonna hop right in, cause I got these panelists. They sitting there ready to go, fired up, ready to go. So we're gonna hop right in. Tonight's topic, we're having our manhood discussion. We're talking about becoming the priest of our home.
okay? Many people has told me, well, a few people then said to me, well, what do you mean by a priest? Isn't a priest someone that's religious? Yes, a priest is someone that is religious. But also, a priest was one that the people went to for wisdom and knowledge. So the priest, he was religious. The priest was also a lawyer. The priest, if he had to be, he was Mr. Cappy and Brother John. He did construction and he did painting if he had to. So this the priest was just an all-around person. He wasn't one-dimensional. And I know one of our panelists, he talks about the dimensions of man, so he might spend a little bit of that game tonight for you. I got scripture to back up what I'm saying, just in case you think I'm lying. Malachi 2:7, it says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So why are you saying, Tyron, that a man should be the priest of his home? Because man is who God gave the order to from the beginning. And that's the problem, is that one of my questions I'm going to throw out there for the panelists, is there a difference? Or are they, is man and woman similar? Or are they the same? You know, because God gave the command. He gave the command to man not to eat of the tree. And ever since the garden days, there's been this contention or warring in the spirit against male and female. Isn't it ironic how a serpent had more control over Adam's woman than Adam did? Read the scripture. It says that, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Then the next verse says, so when the woman saw that the trees was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband. And he ate. Stop right there. Why is it that he just went on ahead and automatically ate instead of thinking like, wait, where did you get this from? God put me in control. He said that you're going to be the keeper of this garden. You are responsible for everything that's being eaten and everything that people are touching around here. So why did he ask Eve, where did you get this fruit? Did you get it from that tree? Because then at that point, he could have did like Job and shut things down. Speaking of Job, what did Job say to his wife? His wife, she said that he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. See, Job was able to stop stuff at the door before he was able to sin. As we see in the beginning with Adam ruined, he severed a relationship between God and man. This is the whole purpose of our conversation tonight, is to be able to get that understanding between man that it is upon the man that we are responsible for what our children is learning in school. We're responsible for the conversations that our children is having at home, even with their friends. We're responsible for what our wives are talking about. What's the word? They clickety clacking about, you know. We responsible for that. We responsible for the Cosmo, the Cosmo magazines that's coming in. We as the man of the house, we're responsible. But some of the questions though we got to ask is, what can we do as men
to make our women feel as if they can come to us for wisdom and guidance. I mean, you know, burst off of the relationship with Adam and Eve, it looked like it ain't too much of nothing we can do, because it didn't say beforehand that they had an issue. You know, it didn't say nothing like that. And that's why when God said, well, why did you eat? He said, it was this woman that you gave me. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of the pastors that Mr. Cappy, they say, well, no, the woman, she could have ate all she wanted. Come on now. A lot of the pastors say that, Mr. Cappy, the woman could have ate all that she wanted. She wouldn't have sinned. But why is it that as soon as Adam said that it was this woman that you gave me, what did he say? He said, now I'm going to punish you in labor. Hello, come on now. He said, now I'm going to punish you in labor. So these are some of the questions, you know. Why did Eve listen to the serpent? How is it that the serpent had more control over your airways than your own husband? I'm going to turn the camera to y'all and let y'all go ahead and talk. Y'all can decide who's going to go first.
good evening, fellas, good evening, gentlemen, and everybody that's watching here.
Hold on, wait, we got to stop real quick. I'm sorry. Let's go around the room. We want to get everybody's name and age, and then y'all can go in.
Dwayne Anthony, 40 years old.
Brother John Muhammad, 83 years old.
Okay. Brother Ben Caffey, 82 years old.
All right.
Amen. All right. So,
I was asking, why is he... Why did Eve listen to the serpent versus her own husband?
Well, first, the serpent, you have to think about what the serpent represented. He represented an opening of the mind. I tell young men all the time that it's important that you not just know the dynamics of a man so that you know yourself, but you have to also know the dynamics of a woman. When you understand how she works, her makeup, your makeup, and you understand that her movement sharpened you. We were created with logic. You know, that's why the serpent couldn't come directly to Adam, because we were created with logic. We were created with the law. We were created to be the teachers, the leader. Adam had, he had already developed intimacy with the Most High. He was in his presence. He was given responsibility to manage territory. And he was also given the responsibility to cultivate anything that came through his fingertips. And the scripture said that this man could not be alone, because as Mr. Caffey, and I hope to hear him eloquently speak about what a helpmeet is tonight, he needed a helpmeet when the load got heavy. That type of man, see, so many people talk about a man can't be alone. No, it's a certain man that can't be alone. The one who's been in God's presence, found out his purpose, he knows what to do. The burden is heavy, and so now she becomes his extra set of hands in love, to be his extra set of eyes, to so that they can level each other out, because she is the weaker vessel, meaning she's the more emotional vessel. He's the more logical vessel, so then therefore her emotions actually help sharpen us, you know. And so the serpent knew that he could not come directly to Adam because of who he was. He held the law. He was the image of the Most High. So he used the weaker vessel because he understood the makeup of the weaker vessel, because it was closely related to his makeup.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. John, Brother John.
Well, I'm listening and learning.
Okay.
Yeah, this is interesting. Mr. Kevin, why don't you go ahead, and then as I learn a little bit more, maybe I can add something else. I'll ask the questions.
Okay. Pull the mic up, Mr. Kevin.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. May God bless you all. One of the basic problems with the man was he felt his love for the woman, which wasn't a problem, but in order to please her, he decided, he took it upon himself, because he was not tricked, he was not fooled, he was not shystered, he was none of that. He volunteered to disobey God's command. And any time any of us, even not only our dad in the garden, but to this present time, when you decide and take it upon yourself to disobey God, you've automatically created a death problem and a death sentence for yourself. We must remember something. Prior to this, God had told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of this fruit that I have already told you, don't do it. The day that you do that, you're committing suicide, in other words. And that's literally what they did. They committed suicide. And for me and you to this very day, not only disobeying God will get you messed up, disobeying your parents will get you messed up. It will shorten your life.
Yes.
I don't understand how a young man can run with the gang. The gang is not the guys in the street. Your gang should be two people, your mama and your daddy.
Amen.
And when you fail to do what they say, you can expect trouble. Remember this, Eve was tricked. And Eve was second. She wasn't first. God made Adam first. He didn't create Eve like he created Adam. He created Adam. And then from Adam, already life was existing. From Adam, knocked him out, put him to sleep, whatever way you want to say it, and brought the woman from him. The scriptures teaches us that he took a rib and formed that woman and then presented that woman to Adam as a helpmeet, a helper who is fit, a helper who can help him go through his ups and downs, a helper who can deliver him some children and do what God wanted them to do, and that's why he created them, and that is replenish the earth, make babies. That's where we all come from. People always talk about life begins at this and that, and you have doctors and people clowning and acting a fool about when life began. There was only one life made up from the beginning, and that was Adam's life. And from him, all other life has been generated. So whether you call it life begins at a fetus or embryo or this, that, or the other, forget that nonsense. There's only been one creation of mankind, and that was what God did in the garden. So all of this other nonsense about this isn't a life and that, that's nonsense. Everything is a life that breathes. Come on with it.
You said something about Eve was tricked.
She was fooled. And that's why she should not be in charge. That's why, listen, all responsibility for the condition of this planet rests on my shoulders and yours. Did you know that? We have nobody. Adam tried to get out of it when you say he pointed to the woman and said, that woman you gave me.
He must
remember. It didn't work. And the lies that you and I tell, they won't work, because you got to remember something about God. He can't learn anything. He knows it all. He knows the past. He knows the present. And he knows the future. As there was a great warrior called David. David said, you know my thoughts before I think them. Now, you think you couldn't even fool your mama. Listen, man, let me tell you something about, let me give you a personal testimony. When I was young and had the enthusiasm of ignorance, I used to try to fool my mama and daddy because I figured they don't know no better. You know what? My mother used to tell me, look me in the eye and say that same thing. Anybody ever see the Exorcist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You remember how that little girl's head used to spin around? My whole body used to spin around because I could never get them lies straight. And that's what used to anger my dad. He didn't want me to become a little liar. And that's why I got my backside adjusted, because of what came out of my mouth. I tried to fool them. I tried to lie to them, and it didn't work. You can't lie to an almighty God. The best thing you can do is fool yourself, but you're not fooling him under any circumstances. Keep that in mind.
But was there some type of relationship, some type of bond between Eve and that serpent? I'm going to bang on that for a minute, because I think it was something going on between Eve and that serpent.
The relationship was just as it is today. She saw something that was pretty. Do you know a woman will buy a car without a motor in it?
Most
as long as it's pretty on the outside? And got the shiny tires, the hubcaps, the this and that. That's not just a man thing. The women like that. It's red. It's pretty. Put a bow on it. She's good to go with it. When she get at home, she discovers there's no motor.
I call it the case of the ooh, ooh, ooh.
Absolutely. But then when it comes to the man, he's more discerning, okay? And he will check things out more thoroughly before he makes a move. And that's why the responsibility for your household rests in your hands. I don't care what she can or cannot do. Say she can't cook bacon or, excuse me, John. She can't cook grits, collard greens or whatever. Don't worry about it. Eat something else, okay? But the responsibility for what's on the television,
that's
how you're being
absolutely
fed. Remember this. It's not only what goes in your mouth that can harm you. It's what goes in your ears. It's what you look at. Do you know, Jesus made a statement once, and he said, I'm condemning you for what you're looking at, because he knows what's in this evil heart of mine. Okay, so I don't have to commit a sexual act with this woman. I'm sitting there thinking about it. My mouth is watering. My eyes are lusting. Okay, so I'm already guilty. So a lot of people think, well, if I didn't stab John in the back, I didn't hurt him. That's a lie, too. I've been talking about him like a dog. I've been low rating him to everybody that I come in contact with. That's murder. And you and I can be guilty of that man's murder without putting a hand on him. So we have to be careful what we think about, what we watch, what we listen to, and what comes in our household. I say that especially for the benefit of the children, because they don't know any better. They're born in innocence, okay? So we have to regulate. What kind of religion am I going to bring them up in? What am I going to tell them about the Almighty God? How am I going to teach my young men how to adjust and respect young ladies? This is something that the black community really needs to get a hand on.
You know what?
We have zero respect when it comes to our black women.
Ooh.
Okay, I don't care how she's shaped. I don't care what she looks like. She still deserves respect. And it's incumbent upon me and you to put that in, keep that in mind, and do that very thing.
I got a question. Okay, why is it that you talked about the black community? Why is it that we don't have the rites of passage like the Jewish community do for the boys and the girls? You even had different African communities. They have the rites of passage. We need to bring back the rites of passage for the young boys, because I remember back in the day, they used to have where fathers would go and take their sons when they turned 12 or 13.
Right.
They'd dress up with some type of mask, and then they'd just grab their son from the house. Their wife already knows what's about to happen. They'd grab their son, and then she'd be like, oh, no, my baby, don't take my baby. But they're going to take him, snatch him out of the house, and take him somewhere else and turn him into a man. When he come back within so many years, he going to be a man. So we need to bring that back. We need to bring that back to the African American community, because that is so much needed as far as turning boys into men.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? The best way for me to teach you or any other young man is by example. If you catch me standing on the corner whistling at women, that's a no-no. If you catch me running to the nearest alley, taking myself out and urinating on the street, that's just a no-no. If you catch me swearing and clowning and acting a fool and fighting my wife. That's ridiculous. I am responsible for you walking the street with your drawers showing because I haven't taught you anything. Listen, the scriptures admonish me, Kathy, train up your children in the way they should go after he's 9, 10, after he's 45, too late. After he weighs 400 pounds, forget that. No, you train him while he's in his mama's belly.
Yeah.
Okay?
And when he is
now,
old,
that
he
may sound
depart.
Very foolish to some people, but let me tell you something. Most of your geniuses became genius while they were in their mother's belly. Okay? She was learning something. That child could hear that. She respected God. He could hear her praying, etc., etc., and that carried on. I taught my granddaughter how to read when she was sucking bottles. I used to read the scriptures to her, and people used to say to me, "That's so stupid. She don't understand nothing." She became a triple A student.
Dwayne.
Well, the thing that comes back to my mind is, I think about Noah. I think about how when they exited the ark. The scriptures say in Genesis 9:20 that Noah became a husbandman.
Yes.
You know, I love that word.
Right.
That's one of the things that the elders taught me. When you talk about, the Kathy talk about action and example and stuff like that, absolutely, we need that. We need it early, but we need it all the way at the beginning with ourselves.
Oh, God.
It starts with us.
Absolutely.
I admonish young brothers to focus and not chase the women. Not let you. I heard a gentleman say that when you are, I believe, 30 and under, you know, you should be focused on a woman less than 7%. Why? Because your purpose is locked in on the Most High. Your number one responsibility is to be focused on the Most High, because you please him. You come from him. The woman came from us. She pleases us. The children pleases the parents. But where it starts is the beginning with the man. There's a word here. Husbandman literally means, I always say, master of the soil. Broken down, it means a person who cultivates the land, a farmer.
Right.
That's the exact definition. So now when you translate that to the scriptures, because I love to stay in the scriptures, it's like Mr. Cat. Even if you go to just the base of the word, a husbandman in England in the Middle Ages and the early modern period was a free tenant farmer or a small landowner. Social status of a husband was below that of a yeoman. The meaning of husband in this term, or husband in this term, is master of the house.
Right.
So you got the master of the house. We understand house bond. That's just the husband. Husbandman is a whole different word. Husbandman starts with you because Adam was single. What did I name the things that he was doing when he was single? Before he ever had an Eve, he was in the Most High's presence. He had land and territory to manage. He cultivated anything that came through his fingertips, so that he became a husbandman at the last part of that. Everything Mr. Caffey says is on point when he talks about in the mother's womb before. Because the Most High said he had a relationship with you before you even thought of it.
Come on.
Created you.
Now you think about people like King Richard, who planned for Venus and Serena.
Mm-hmm.
You think about LeVar Ball, who planned for his son.
Yep.
All in the NBA right now. You have to be all the way down from the beginning. There is a knowledge that you as a man should have. I always tell young men, the number one question is, when am I ready for a wife? When am I ready for children? When you learn something. Because you have a state's laws to learn. You have a society's laws to worry about and learn. You have to spend some time under the Most High so he can give you revelation of what's going on right now. Because you're in the world, but you're not of it. But you need to learn what's going on around you. Because if you pick the wrong woman, the scriptures tell you about the different soils. You don't want a soil choking up your seed, because your seed, your children, is supposed to be a harvest to you. It's supposed, a farmer plants so his crop can bless him. Your children are supposed to come back and bless you. But if you done messed up and don't have the ignorance of not to choose the right soil, woman, then you're planting your seed places that will could easily come back and destroy you because you didn't even choose the right woman. And that's what I see in the spiritual. I see that a lot, that we are ignorant to choosing the proper soil. And if you talk to a farmer, they'll tell you, we don't just choose any land. We know what to choose and what not to choose because the thriving of your seed or your child lays in the balance.
I'm going to say this. I think part of the problem is the different images that our media put in front of us as far as black men. We're going to make this thing personal today, tonight, to talk about black men because it's black men in the room. I look at different movies. I look at different black male actors, and a lot of our black male actors, they wasn't really seen as a source of wisdom when it come down to the movies. They were seen as a protecting type person or a savaging beast. Especially Hollywood, they portray a lot of our black actors as savaging beasts, very hypersexual, you know. But what about a black man that's full of wisdom? I mean, we had Sidney Poitier, but was he really looked at as wisdom? Because Sidney Poitier, he played in that one movie, Guess Who Coming to Dinner, and he looked at, you know, even at the father, he, you know, even though Sidney Poitier had all these credentials, the father still wasn't trusting of this man being with his white daughter. So, you know, I think just the images that they put in front of our children, they put in front of people, that really, you know, really messes with their mind, and it you know, seduces them to want to go after things that's not really for them. Go ahead, Mr. Cap.
That's very true, but that's why I said before, you have to monitor what your children ingest. Because what they see...
How do you do that when there's a wife that's going to counteract whatever everything you're saying?
That's why
we got to talk about that.
You'll have to be a little more domineering. Mm. I didn't say overwhelming. I said domineering with love. Okay? The best way to teach is with love and respect. Not, I'm alley-oop. You remember that in the funny paper? Alley-oop used to walk around with this big club.
Oh, he hit in the back of the head.
And he got a good old
Sometimes we might need to bring that back. It might be a time to bring that back, Mr. Caffey.
No.
It's 2022.
It didn't work for alley-oop, and it's not going to work for me and you. Okay? No. The best way to teach is with an example. That's why I say I am responsible for the young men walking around with their heads in the air, acting a fool, okay? Because I haven't taught them anything.
Right.
Brother John, every Saturday, without fail, unless something drastic happens, he offers them what? A chance to be better off.
Yes.
A chance to learn a skill, a trade that pays better than most trades. You go in somebody's house and paint for them or hang wallpaper or decorate for them, you can make an awful lot of money. And you can make it honestly. You don't have to be looking over your shoulder. You don't have to be afraid somebody's coming after you. You can do this and earn an excellent income. But what do most young men do? They play the video, what is that junk? You know what I'm talking about.
Video games.
Video games. Listen, or watching television. Let me say this, and keep this in mind, everybody. When you look at TV, when you watch TV, you are looking at people in the pursuit of their career. They are earning an excellent income while you with your dumb sit there and don't make a dime. Okay.
Go ahead, Brother John. I hear you.
To cut down on my swearing, so.
I hear you, Brother John. You saying something?
Yeah, I say that's wasting. You're sitting there wasting your time and flushing the stool and wasting money and everything, you know, when you're not out trying to
acquire knowledge that's necessary for you to make the kind of money you want to make, you see.
Absolutely.
As, we all have to, all of us that have a trade, we should be interested in passing this trade on to everyone that's got a trade. We should we should take the time because God has blessed us with it.
Absolutely.
And so now we should give back. That's what I try to do myself.
Absolutely.
I try to give back.
Every Saturday.
Yeah, I try to give back.
And see, the crazy part is that some people, they try to be selfish with the trade.
Right.
And then
right.
God will take that, he'll take it from you.
Right.
You know, cause it where you can't even have, use your arm no more. Now you can't, you know, work no more. So, yeah, and I've seen that happen, too. I've seen that happen.
I know a friend of mine, excellent bricklayer. That man can lay bricks so good, boy, like people have pancakes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
He could do it.
Yeah.
He was smooth.
Yeah.
I used to mix it. You know, I helped him out all the time. It's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I say, Al, why don't you pass on it to say, our people out at UKTC Johnson, other man, they're crazy. I say, well, try, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He decided he didn't feel like trying. He passed on, you know. See, when we pass on with these crazy things, you know, no one come and kick this up.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when we used to have our own businesses
before
integration took over, you know. And I would be with the other people now with integration. His ice is not as cold as this.
Right.
Now, right.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. You see, we got away from being looking out for self.
Right.
We got away from being independent like other people are independent.
Mm-hmm.
We got people living in this country. They're not against the country, but they got their own independent services and things.
They got their culture.
Great. They got their culture, plus they got their businesses. See, we don't even have no businesses anymore.
Right.
Businesses they have. Mm-hmm. But they kept that. And we give up. We want. After what the American way, and which is good in a sense, you know, we pay taxes like everybody else, so that's what we should be able to go to this restaurant and that restaurant, but we should have kept our own also.
Mm-hmm.
So we should have been independent. You're respected when you got your own, man.
Most definitely.
You're respected.
Right.
You ain't got no respect. You can't even talk when you want to buy a car. If you don't have the cash to buy the car, you can't even talk trade with people. You have to accept what they tell you. This is the, I'm a, if you got money, you say, well, hell, I'm gonna spend this amount of money for it. If you can give me the car for this amount of money, I'll go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We can't deal like that anymore because we don't have the kind of cash or the unity that we need to confront people that's in business in our neighborhood. They come in our neighborhood and take money out of the bag for. I mean. Truckloads of money just taken out of our neighborhood.
Yeah.
You see, here we are. We got all these institutions. We got more churches in our neighborhood. We got more
liquor stores. Jordan's Chickens. Come on, Sharks.
Yeah. They say the beauty industry is one of the most lucrative industries.
Very lucrative.
But look who's in charge of in our
neighborhood. Korean.
Yeah. And they won't hire you to live with work.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. They ain't going to hire you to work for them.
They won't even hire you.
And
they won't hire you to
the
Chinese.
Trying out,
I like some of their food, too, you know, but they won't hire
me. He said you got to get that miso soup. Get that egg bouillon.
You're making me hungry, John. But here's the thing. We need, as John has said so often, to pass on what we know.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you know I mentioned tea cakes, gingerbread, and something else? And the young ladies that I was talking, they looked at me so, what is that? What is a tea cake? What is gingerbread? They don't know anything about it.
They ain't got a clue.
Not a clue. Not a clue, because they haven't been taught anything. They think a good meal is running up to McDonald's, getting it while it's hot. That's ridiculous. But that's life.
But you know, that's why
That's why I said earlier about the rites of passage. I'm serious. I need to find somebody that's gonna start this back. That rites of passage, because I was looking it up, and I see how they do with the young men when they turn to 13 and 14. They really welcome them into manhood.
Ask John how successful he has been inviting young men, women, children to come here on Saturday.
John, Brother John, how successful have you been?
Mediocre.
Let me turn the camera on.
And you know darn well we need his talent.
Yeah. It's sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's mediocre. I think because of one thing I noticed, because we had some senior ladies coming, but since the pandemic thing broke out, then everybody, you know, kind of backed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after this pandemic, you know.
Grab that mic right there. Why? Yeah, because why do you think that might be? Why do you think that is? Why they not coming? Yeah, you grab it off the stand.
Okay, well, I think because this pandemic has frightened a lot of people away from doing certain things. You know, that's one of the reasons, and. We haven't been advertising like we should. That, maybe that's another part of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but we can't stop, though. We can't stop now. We have to keep going. You see, and I don't intend to stop myself. You know, as long as God give me the strength and the energy, I'll be here and encouraging others to tell their friends and so that they can come. And also asking for other people that have other skills, you know, not just painting. Somebody might want to learn how to do the computer skill. You know, there are plenty of skills that we we have. We a lot of our people have skills, so I'm interested in other people that have a skill they want to pass on also, so we can make this a big thing. We can have centers all over town, you know, just like
Absolutely.
We got liquor stores all over town, so we have something positive all over town. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's my interest.
Go ahead, Ms. Cass.
One other thing I would hope that we would stop doing, and that is being so doggone critical of each other. If you want to hear some negative talk, just listen to how some black women talk to their children. You just like your note. You know where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be.
That's part of the problem.
But we need to stop that. I need to stop low rating you. That's murder. But I'm not only am I killing you, I'm helping to kill myself as a people. And that shouldn't be. If I don't have anything good to say about anybody, I really need to keep these two fat lips closed.
I'm going to say this. I think also was part of the problem what Brother John was talking about is laziness. Like, I work in a school bus. You know, I drive a school bus. And I've seen people come happy to drive a school bus. But, you know, when you driving in cities like Indianapolis and states like Michigan and Illinois and Minnesota, you go, you know, around this time, you're going to start getting that snow and that sleet on the ground.
Right.
And then people get scared, never show back up again.
Well, we have to, that's why we need to encourage one another. I try to encourage any brother I know who is productive. And if he's not productive, I try to put even more effort in. I offer young men all the time, and I can build a house, just give me the key. I'll build a house around it. I have often tried to teach them how to plaster. I ain't talking about hanging drywall. Anybody can do that. But I'm talking about plaster, and a lot of them don't even know what plastering is. They think because they can put up a couple of sheets of drywall, that's it. That's not plastering. I'm an old man, and I have a lot of old skills and trades, willing to teach them, T, and willing to pay them top dollar and can't get them to do it.
Laziness.
The other day, I had to pour 3 or 4 yards of concrete. I had to go over there and dig, lay the form out. I'd like to teach those skills to somebody. How do you do that? You can't just go there and dig a hole and put some concrete in it and walk away from it. There's skills that are involved. I can teach them how to finish concrete. Okay? I can teach that. I can teach you how to hang wallpaper.
Yo, even your barbecue grills.
Build barbecue grills. That's one of the things, too, yes. But I'm just saying, John, listen, he's got talent that he ain't told you about yet.
What else you do, Brother John?
The man is an excellent seamster.
Taylor. Taylor, okay.
Okay, he's doing a fur.
You get some threads together, King Dwayne.
No. Listen, man. I can show you some stuff that John has done that'll blow your mind.
Ooh.
Okay, and he doesn't charge an awful lot for it, but he can do it.
See, I say King Dwayne because King Dwayne, brother got some good taste over there.
No, seriously. And you'd be surprised when a young man talks. You know why most young men who got the head on straight talk to old men?
I know why I talk to them, because I'm trying to get
wisdom,
that wisdom
there.
Yeah.
Do you follow me?
Yes, sir.
Do you know why old men like me need to talk to some young men? Because there's strength in you that
yes,
I
sir.
Don't have any
yes,
longer.
Yes, sir.
Okay? I can't hold my hands up like this forever and a day. When I was what I was telling you about that boy said, I believe I can fly. When I had the enthusiasm of ignorance, I thought I could fly. But now I'm finding it difficult walking. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why we need one another. I can't make it without you. That's why I want to teach you. That's why John is struggling to try to teach somebody something. He doesn't want to leave here and take all that talent with him. But you think it's throwing some paint up against the wall is all he can do? I've been with him. I know better. My wife has seen the things that John can do, and she jumps up and down when he comes to the house.
Wow! Now you make me want to ask some more questions. Like, do you think that could be part of what it is why our women don't respect us like they should, because we don't have the skills that they need us to have?
No. Listen, respect is not something that you can buy. You have to earn respect.
Yes,
sir. Most of my customers have no idea I'm 82 years old. It has nothing to do with the way I look or the way I work. But I respect them by saying, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And I ain't trying to go to bed with nobody. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I respect my customers, old and young. I don't care how she looks, how she's shaped, or whatever. If the man is there or not, don't make me no difference. I come there to do a job. Do that job and get out of there. Do I pick up anything that ain't mine? Never. I've got so many keys at my house. I got a can like this. No, it's a can where that stuff with the nuts and all that junk come in. That fruitcake thing.
Oh, yeah.
Full of keys. I've shown them to him. Okay, businesses. I got police that have given me their remote control to their house and stuff. All I want is my check so I can leave. I ain't picking up nothing. I ain't saying nothing to your daughter. I ain't saying nothing to your wife. I'm getting out your house when I get that job done. But see, you take Tyrone with you, you got a problem.
Hey, you picking up stuff.
You got to watch Tyrone.
King Dwayne, what you got on that? I mean, do you think that could be what it is? Because I know, I'm going to say, I know some women, they really do have a disrespect of their husband because he don't know how to fix things around. He's not useful around the house. She got to always call Tyrone or call somebody else to come fix the drip when it comes to the leaks that they're having in the basement.
This may happen, but let me say this again. The average man wants respect from his wife.
Absolutely.
His woman. But the average woman wants something too. She wants to know that she's being loved, that she's being taken care of, that she can rely on him to do what he can. You can't do the impossible. T, it's getting to the place not only... Listen, I'm going to tell you something when you get old. You can go in the kitchen, open the refrigerator door, and forget what you're doing with the milk carton in your hand. Am I taking it out, John, or am I putting it back? And that can happen to you, brother. So listen, give the man the benefit of the doubt. If he's trying, if he's making an effort, and if he still has a pleasant attitude toward his children and his wife, he's a good man. If he's willing to work, he's a good man. If he's willing to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, thank you, please, those four words will get him over, brother. But some of us are such arrogant bastards that it is just totally, I'm his demand. I'm his demand. What I said, go in this your house. That's stupid. You know, I mean, don't nobody care because you're 6 feet tall and crazy as hell. Listen, you still, the Bible teaches me and you to love and respect her as the weaker vessel. She is not as strong as you. Don't you dare put your dirty little hands on her and call yourself chastising her. You chastise the children. You don't chastise your wife. You talk to the wife. You reason with her. And if you keep, listen to this, this may come as a shock. The scriptures teaches me, if I can't reason with that woman, you know what I'm to do? Go up on the roof. Go up on the roof. That's in the book.
That's interesting. The corner. Not just
go up on the roof, Kathy. Get out of there. If the police come and they find out something done went down, guess who goes?
Most of the time, it's the man.
Absolutely.
Well, why the rooftop, though?
That's what the scripture says. Get away from. Listen, because you're not going. You're not going to beat her. You're not going to beat her because of this. All of them going to do that. And we want to do this. You can't do that. You have to keep yourself under control. If she's mouthing off at you and calling you this and that and blah, blah, blah. I had a four-foot-something-other mother used to grab my daddy in the collar and talk about kicking his.
She was 4 feet?
A little over 4 feet, yeah. And raise more hell.
Remind me of somebody.
Oh, man. And daddy would just stand there and look at her. And I know he had to pray because he never did, never would raise his hand to her. He could whoop her, but that wasn't the point. They needed to get together for my benefit because I'm witnessing this kind of stuff. He needed to teach me how to keep my body in subjection. Listen, when you lose, what did he say? I lost control. No. Men ain't supposed to lose control. You're supposed to stay under control because you have somebody to reckon with, too. There's a chain of command, and you and I are not at the top. Keep that in mind.
You stay in control by knowing the first thing I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know the dynamic of yourself.
Absolutely.
You know the dynamic of her.
Absolutely.
To know she mouths off, to know that she's
God.
Right above the children. That's why she's there. That's why they understand what I'm saying. There's no disrespect.
No.
It's biblical. That's why it illustrates and it points out that she was begotten, not Adam.
Right.
Right.
Something
right.
He could not approach Adam.
No.
Adam was God on earth.
Right.
So at the end of the day, he used and beguiled the one who was closely related
she was
to his
weak
own son. Characteristics.
Right.
So you ask why it happened, because the serpent used the makeup of the woman. He had a lot of same forces in himself. So it's kind of like, I've seen children, mama trying to play a little silly game, it would have been a child again. They're like, mama, you ain't telling the truth.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do back and forth. That maternal DNA is clicked on the second of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a saving grace. Because before the child, what does she have? She's usually really narcissistic by nature.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that in social media. They play in these filters.
Right.
They want to see their face. They want to see themselves. He talked about the exorcist. Number one exorcist shot is when they turn their head and they backside in the camera and they try to look over their shoulder. They're advertising. They don't even know what to advertise.
Mm.
And that's because people like to say a saying, and I love to point it out. Oh, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-mm.
To believe that, you have to understand, even though this might not be eaten, it's still dynamics of it. Because the
serpent is the ruler of this world. He's the god of this world.
That's right.
He's the god of Babylon. So if he's the god of Babylon, there still has to be the dynamics of the serpent still resting in Babylon. So what would be the serpent today? He had to give Eve the idea. He had to open up her mind, right? Open up Adam.
Because that's what happened. Today, your mind is open through media, through all forms of it.
Right.
And then the hope is that the woman is the number one consumer in all households. She going spending the money. She done watched all of the, I mean, we got a woman here. Tell me if I'm telling the truth.
Hello.
She's going and spending the money. She saw all the commercials, the young, the babies, then petition her for Christmas gifts and everything else. This right here, what is it, about 6 months maybe, they call it the holiday season, starting with Halloween, and those seasons just change just like that
going
in the stores.
Going quick.
Me being a salesman, you know, I talk to them. I'm like, man, y'all not going to give it a chance for the kids to even do the trick-or-treating, huh? Nah, we right on Christmas. We right on New Year's. We right on this.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day. Because it's all commercial to appeal to the same person the serpent appealed to, because she's going to go right to that man that's working 3 hours in the field, 3 shifts in the field, 3 jobs in the field. She's going to appeal to him. And that's another reason why we can't hold on to no money, because we haven't chosen a woman who's going to multiply. She multiplies our seed by nature. Choose a woman that you can use to multiply everything you give her. Include your money, not spending it and draining you out.
She must know where all the money of the household is going.
Absolutely.
Okay? It don't matter that I'm the only one working. Where is the money going?
Mm-hmm.
Let her be in on the details,
yes, sir,
of every piece of money that's coming out that house.
She's vice president.
She wants to know.
Okay. She's your vice president.
So, well, let me welcome our brother in the middle. What's your name, brother? I forgot your name.
Esau.
Good name.
All right. Good evening, brother. How you doing today?
Wonderful.
Okay. You've been sitting there listening. Let us know if you got any thoughts right now.
Well, I'm thinking.
Okay.
Now, I remember you from last time. Don't hold back.
Yeah.
Don't hold back.
Because he said that the last time, but then he got ready to talk.
Yeah, he went
in for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Well, all right, let me say this then. Anybody that's watching, I see I got some people watching. If you want to call in, the number is area code 323-870-4617. I'm going to put it right at the bottom of the screen. Give me 1 second. I'm going to put it right there at the bottom of the screen for you. There it is, 323-870-4617. Please call in. Do not hesitate. We are having our manhood conversation. This is our second one. Ladies, don't let us keep going without y'all doing y'all first one. We want y'all to have a first one. Our second manhood conversation, becoming the priest of your own home, okay? Becoming a priest, being the one that's going to be responsible for what is being said in the house, for how the conversation is going in the house, for the thinking of the house. You know, you got to be responsible for that as a man. I got to move this camera real quick. Because your kids out there playing on the playground, and they start bringing up topics that, you know, might be a little risque. And then kids wondering, like, what is it they're speaking about? Like who speaks on these topics? Oh, what happens? It's going to fall back on the mother and the father of the house. Like, you all are responsible for what your kids is thinking about. You know, if all your kids is talking about is cosmopolitan magazines or Cardi B or all these news, these social media influences that everybody want to be like, if that's all they're talking about, that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? That's a problem. But I know kids, because see, I'm a school bus driver. I know kids I have sat and listened to. That's one reason why sometimes I don't even like to hold conversations while I'm driving the bus, because I like to sit and listen to the kids as they talk,
and I make very good, you know, while I'm listening to him, I'm like, okay, he's smart. Okay, she's smart. Okay, she's all quite intelligent because I'm listening to what they saying. I have kids, they parents, one kid, I think they for his father's a dentist. This kid talks and talk about the teeth and the mouth like I don't know what. I'm like, wow, nose. I mean, he's teaching me a lot. I'm listening to one kid think his father is a lawyer. He know how to speak law. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, that's very good. These parents is putting this into these kids' mind at young ages.
Yes,
and that's what that goes back to what I'm talking about as far as the rites of passage. You know what I'm saying? These kids are learning these things. So what? When they age 13, 14, then when they get grown, they can just take over the family business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The scriptures teaches us to train, to guide, to train up a child in the way he should go in his youth.
Yes, sir.
Not wait until he's old. You got to start early. You can't wait. And the way that we see things going now, hey, it would be a blessing if you could start teaching him before she's pregnant with him.
Yes, sir.
It would really would. Because some of the things that are coming out of these kids nowadays, it's mind-boggling to see some young man say, I killed him because he had on a pair of gym shoes and the so-and-so wouldn't give them to me.
Mm.
That's why I shot him. Are you kidding me? A pair of gym shoes? You took somebody's life for that?
Let me ask you, Mr. Cavey, do you think we should, in order to be able to teach the kids before they even get into the womb, do you think we should teach the mom? Because... Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he talked about how the mom is the first teacher.
Absolutely. And that's why all responsibility resides with you. That is your job.
Most definitely.
To make sure that you, acting as protector or provider or priest, and when I say priest, I don't want you to start thinking Catholicism. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about whatever.
Rabbi. Teacher.
That's what you want your children to be.
Yes, sir.
Whatever faith you practice, that's what you want your family to be. Okay? Because, you know, you can't mix up too many religions because that's hard on everybody.
Mm.
Okay? It is always better if they agree. But here's the one other thing I'd like to say to all the men that are listening. When Christ admonishes me to love my wife, you know what he says to me? There's a four-letter word. Even as I love the church.
Hmm.
What do you mean when you say even? How did he love the church? He loved the church sacrificially.
Yes, sir.
In other words, he gave himself for it.
Yes, sir.
Listen, that woman is a part of you. So you should love her as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And don't try to be nickel slick. She know when you slacking off. You understand? Young man, she knows the difference in how you smell today as how you smell when you went out with the boys. You ain't fooling nobody but your dumb self.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever think that you... And but don't ever think that you so slick you couldn't even fool your own mama.
Mm-hmm.
She knew you was a little liar.
Oh.
Be straight and be honest and be fair and be acceptable and respectable to the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Don't play games. If you don't want to, say you don't want her and leave her for somebody who will take care of her and them babies.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but since they all look like you, I think you ought to take care of
them. Yeah, Mr. Caffey, you said a lot there. It made me think about that you sounded like what I say all the time, you know. And when you really, really – see, when I was younger and I would hear certain scriptures, it's like you just hear them. You repeat stuff. You don't know what you're saying.
Mm.
You regurgitate the same thing you hear people because you're trying to emulate. Like Mr. Caffey said, you see the example. You're trying to be like the example. But when you actually become a man,
ooh,
and now you put away that childish stuff, and you think like a man, you don't walk around here talking about you're a fan of Kobe no more. You don't walk around here talking about you're a fan of LeBron. You're a grown man. You understand that when your TV go off, they go off.
Right.
So who's in the home? And so when you say that the Most High And he gave us his own example. We came in flesh. He was the Messiah. The disciples that he discipled called him teacher, rabbi. What that lets me know when he says that I need to love my wife as he loved the church, even as he loved the church, that means that I am his exact image. That means that I am teacher. That means that what do I always joke with you about? What I see. It's like Mr. Miyagi and Daniel's son. Daniel's son bucked against Mr. Miyagi like crazy before he realized he wasn't just waxing on and waxing off. At first, when he just thought it was just that, man, I'm not here to do that. I came here for karate. But the second he shook him and said, sign the floor, he blocked. Everything he did was a defense and a counter. And this boy got excited because my spiritual father, my leader, the priest is teaching me. That's how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to answer what you said, asked about the woman. Absolutely, she's supposed to be submitting to your teaching. That's why I always say, if you got her ear, you got her heart. So that goes back to the farmer, to the husbandman. You catching she ain't listening to you, you need to choose something else. The same way Mr. Caffey just said, if you don't want to leave alone, it's that other. The woman, she don't have to accept things either. And it's the same way. If you see she don't got her ear is not turned off to everybody else. Because the scriptures say in Genesis, 2:24-25, that you're supposed to leave and cleave. Then it talks about further on that you're going to make one flesh. Well, what would one flesh be? Obviously, it's your children. That's the only thing that can come together in one flesh, the collective of you two, after you've cleaved and been one, and he's beat the door down telling you be fruitful and multiply. You're supposed to, by nature, be leaving home at some point and joining up with your man. This society is teaching the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened in the Garden of Eden is really what Adam messed up is that he turned from teacher that quick and became her student. That ain't what's supposed to happen.
No.
Never was supposed to happen. Because when you go to the wilderness, when Jesus was fasting, he had the same temptation.
Come on.
And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. You shall not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if Adam had done that, who knows? If he just would have said, you don't tempt the teacher. God's already given the law. I can't follow you. That's not what I'm supposed to do. We have a chance on a surface level to do that in many ways. Like Mr. Caffey talked about being integral and being strategic. That's what he's talking about. You got to be strategic in how you teach her with the example because you're teaching everybody in the house. It used to irk me when I heard guys say, I need her to be my peace. That's goofy. If you're really the man you're supposed to be, you're going to be everybody peace in the house. That's why you can work 3-4 jobs, come home, fight or run into you, kids run into you, wife run into you. Why? Because you're God in that house. They expect you to be a superhero, even though you worked all those shifts. They ain't thinking about that. They jumping on you, bouncing on you. Trust me, I know. My four will go crazy over me when I enter the house. So I've been there. I know how that is. Trust me. So that's what we got to do. It starts with what Mr. Caffey said and what I was talking about earlier. You start with yourself. People can't be accountable and self-aware to stuff out of themselves that needs to be together so that you will choose the right soil to sow into. And then you won't have so much divorce. You won't have so much issues. And if the woman is going back and forth, you won't have your disagreements.
Absolutely.
But the right type of woman going to come back to you with respect because she knows who you are already.
Mm-hmm.
If a man is going to the level of putting his hands on the woman, he just don't know her. He don't know the dynamics of a woman. He don't even know how she works. Because he'd have left that house. And I've had men say, no, you don't need to do that. Oh, yeah, I do. Because I know what it has cost already. And I'm not going to jail. And there ain't nobody going to die under my watch. And ain't nothing going to lose control. Nah, because I got me. The way Adam didn't have, I got me. Oh, you want to act crazy? We're not doing that. So I'll see you in about, a little bit. I'm going to shoot some shots at the gym or something. We gotta get us together from jump because Adam was single first.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a lot that he did. And before one thing, well, that was before I stopped. Mr. Cavi says something that I love. In this world where they want to keep preaching this equality, there can't be a tie. That's what you're saying, that there need to be a tie. Every other culture, race, everything else, they know that that word race means we're in a race. We the only race that wants a tie with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we can't help each other out, because we still trying to get, there has to be a champion. We're in rulership. We're not in supremacy. We're in rulership. If we want the championship, we got to band together. That's what needs to happen. Because when it comes down to, you know what I'm saying, leading your home the proper way, oh, you're going to have to move like the Most High moves. And by him saying that we have to love as he, even as he loves his bride, what that's saying is that we are, the wife and the husband are not equal.
Mm.
So that is another thing that should click on a light switch to the man. You have to be in a teaching position. And she has to be willing to learn. Still will joke about it all the time. He say, from now on, you better ask that woman, did she like school? Find out if she was a student.
I'm going to say this, too. It seemed like with you bringing up equality, it seemed like we the only race that that tried to compete with the other races as far as like we see even the white women, they brought about the feminist movement back in the 1800s. And then even in the 1970s, the white women brought their feminist movement to our black women, telling them if they wanted food stamps, they wanted government benefits, a check, they got to get the man out of the home.
Trick them out of their protection.
So the thing is, we the only ones that can't really see it. Like, those white women, they was fighting to be equal with their men. But at the end of the day, what I see from a whole lot of white women, I see submissiveness. Asian women, I see submissiveness with them and their men.
Because it's a plot.
Italian women, Mexican women, I see the submissiveness. But the only ones that's not really being submissive to their men is the black ones.
They in school.
That's a matter of respect. You see, most of the lessons that I have learned, I learned the hard way. You have to learn good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about love. Do you know love is not a feeling?
Facts.
It has nothing to do. Mm-hmm. Indigestion is a feeling. Constipation
right.
is a
yes,
feeling.
Sir.
But love is not a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the choice. Am I going to love this brother
mm-hmm.
or not? That's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what love is. You and I need to be taught how to love one another.
Absolutely.
There are silly people on radio, TV, psychiatrists, psychologists
mm-hmm.
tell you got to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't love yourself, you can't love. That's a lie. There's nowhere in the scripture that the scripture tells me to love what I see in the mirror every
right.
morning.
Right.
None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
What I see in the morning, I says, Lord, thank you for a mama who did love what I see in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I don't see it. Okay? Listen, if you examine yourself, do you know you about the most unlovable thing there is? And it sometimes can't nothing love you but your mama.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you could feel.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, it behooves the man, for the sake of his family and for the sake of his community and for the sake of us as a people, to love one another. Stop running this brother down. You don't like the way he looks, then help him. You don't like the way he wears his hair, a cut, you help him pay for a haircut. You don't like the clothes he wears, you help him get something that you like. Okay? He ain't going to object. If you take him to one of them places y'all young men go now and get suits, I'm too old.
Taylor, you
want whatever.
Man,
you can take him
Tom
to
Tom Alaska.
Get a Taylor suit.
Yeah,
whatever
yeah.
to Tom Alaska.
Listen, that has nothing to do with nothing.
that was
the individual, okay? And you and I are not taught how to love.
Mm-hmm.
We think just because she's shaped like Beyonce, oh, this is going to get it. No, it's not. You don't know nothing about
it. Well, be toxic is on no way.
Ooh,
so
yes,
poisonous, yes, shaped like a snake.
Maybe that's the problem.
what they used to say, different strokes for folks.
Different folks, that's right.
Whatever.
That's right.
Some folk like I'm fat, some folk like I'm thin,
yeah.
Some folk like I'm tall, short. But listen, that's choice, okay? Choose to love somebody, and you will find that you will have good times, the best times in your life with the woman of your choice. But when you get that woman you claimed you love, when you was looking at her peeking over the fence, okay, when you thought you saw her sunbathing, okay, be careful, man.
Yes,
don't be telling nobody you love them and you know you lust them. You don't love them. You L-U-S-T. Am I spelling it right? L-U-S-T, that woman. That's what you look.
I'm going to say this, Mr. Cappy, because but hold on, before I do, Mr. D, I see you. Don't go nowhere. We're going to bring you in next. But I'm going to say this, Mr. K, I'm starting to understand now what you mean when you say stop talking about loving yourself, because I see on Facebook a lot. I know Dwayne see this. A lot of women be talking about, oh, so I'm doing self-love today. And you know, I always get this negative vibe, and, you know, it just never, the words never came to me. But recently I got the words. A lot of this, when they say this self-love thing, it's always in a selfish way. And it just, it kind of bugs me, like, oh, so your self-love is going to the spa, spending up all your money. Oh, your self-love is going to get a massage. Oh, your self-love is going to buy this dress or Amazon Prime.
And that's why I say that children are their saving grace. Because usually until the child comes, because they won't even do it for the man who gave them the child.
Right.
But they will worship that child with everything they got.
Yeah.
Make sure he got on Jordans, this, that, the other, but ain't got no education.
Nothing here either.
A lot of times, it's to compensate for what they could not make thrive with the man. And that's why they can do what Mr. Cappy said, which is destroy their own child. Because you see this man growing up and towering over you now, mama. Well, I got to make him understand. I ain't playing. So you a tear down Kevin Durant. You the only one he a coward to, mama. But he'll go kill everybody on that basketball court. But you tore him down all the time. This is what's happening through all these houses. And then the little sisters can see the mama going in on the boy. So she thinks it's okay to go at the brother. And you bet not touch it. You bet not this, that, the other. So now he's already being indoctrinated on how to act in the world. So then when he gets in a relationship for the first time, he does lose his mind because he's sitting up there thinking that this is just regular relationship.
Yeah.
We're just going back and forth. Oh, the police are here. It's just regular relationship. No, you've been taught toxicity. That's what you've been taught. Because the peace was not there. The order was not there. That's why we got to take control of this. And that's why I keep saying it ain't going to take no kumbaya. It's going to take each individual house doing something that can come out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank.
Do you know why the scripture says love thy what?
Neighbor.
As
thyself.
That tells you all right there. You already love yourself. There's not a person alive that doesn't love themselves. Okay? So get it together. Think about it. Don't let Oprah and Dr. Phil tell you what the Bible says is a lie, okay? Because the Bible cannot lie. Love your neighbor, okay? As yourself, because you already do.
Yep.
I have stood in the mirror, even today, when I was shaving, said, Captain, you got it going on. I took a little of the bottle. I had a bottle of some stuff, sprayed it here and there. I said, Captain, you got it going on.
Uh-huh.
82 years old and still stupid.
All right, Mr. D, you live.
Hey, how you young men doing out there today?
Good.
Good to see y'all, young man, Mr. Cappy, Mr. King, D, and also the young man sitting there in the middle. No, I ain't talking to you. I ain't talking to you, T, man. We on a bad end stick now, man. Now, I'm sitting up here watching. Well, here we are. I'm looking at the big old 80-inch screen. And you got all them chocolate donuts, and ain't trying to put none up in the window here. I can't get not now one of them donuts, so we just fool.
Those are my donuts.
No, man, but I hope everybody's doing good and feeling fine. I thank God, you know, I'm feeling much better than I was a few weeks ago. I was just about ready to get my space shuttle on out of here a few weeks ago. Hey, but one thing about the ladies, I have to admit, I'm a victim of woman love. In other words, I ain't seen a woman yet I didn't love. Now, you have to understand the way I'm using that terminology, love. And, you know, I understand what you gentlemen are talking about being priests at a house. That's fine and dandy and true. A lot of women today, now forgive me for being European, but a lot of those darker pigmented ladies today have gotten into their head that they can be equal to a man. And when you sit down and listen to a few of them talk, whether they belong to you or themselves or whomsoever, whatever they belong to, when you sit down and talk with them, they will let you know within 5 to 10 minutes, I think I'm a man. They won't come right out and say it, but the way they're handling the conversation lets you know that they think they are who you are. And like Dwayne said, we got to, well, those darker pigmented people have to figure out a way to take control of their house. Women today, quite a few women that I've talked to in and about, they feel like they've got to tell the man this. They've got to re-raise the man, forgetting the fact that this man being himself is what brought you to him. And now that he being himself has brought you to him, you want to re-enline him and make him somebody he's not. You know, that bothers me when I hear a lot of women talking that yin yang on the show, you know, because, okay, I'm about to start running down the street now. There's some women that doesn't have a concept of what a real lady is. They don't have a concept. That's why they talk all that yin yang and how they want to equal themselves to a man. And listen, I'm going to say this and get out the way. I would be the first to admit and accept a woman being dominant over me if she can show me in the tampered with King James Version Bible where God or Jesus or whoever they want to call him has taken dominion from man and gave it to them. Now, I hope you heard what I said. I'll be the first to admit it, and I'll jump on board. But I haven't found nowhere in the tampered with King James Version Bible where it says that God took dominion away from man and gave it to a woman. If you quote the scriptures, like some like to quote, it says God gave man dominion over everything on the earth, everything. Now, show me where that's wrong or where that's been recycled or redone, and I'll eat my hat and forget about them good old chocolate-covered donuts. I'm listening, man. Keep going at it.
I'm going to say this, is that, yeah, there are plenty of women that really think they are equal to men, and that was one of the questions that I had for the panelists was, are women equal to men? Because, well, I think what Mr. D was trying to hint at, Dwayne, he know about it, we have women that really believe that they can raise young men to be strong black men. They really believe that they can raise a man to be a boy to be a man, which I know that can't happen. I grew up in a home where there was no man. And I know my mother didn't raise me to be no man. The great part is she put men around me, which helped me become a man. I met Mr. Cabby at the age 17. I've been knowing him over 20 years. That helped me to become a man. I had my uncle in my life. I had my pastor. These was all men. I had a mentor. That was a man. He was my football mentor. That was a man. So I had these men around me. So when I got out of line, she would call one of them, and then they would put me right back in line.
But that's the thing, Mr. Caffey. he broke down just by using the scripture about what our assignment is, our responsibility is, and how we're supposed to love. He didn't give that responsibility to the woman. When you really hear that scripture and read that scripture, when I first understood what that meant, that's so much that overwhelmed me, because that revelation is heavy. It's heavy. There's so much that, and that's why I had to tell somebody last night, love is unconditional. Just like Mr. Kev said, it ain't got nothing to do with no feeling. Because you're going to have to win her to Christ and win her to you so many times. You're going to have to heal her. All these people looking for therapy, a man's supposed to be his woman's therapy. You are the peace. Mm-hmm. We got to fight for the trust. Because just like the reference I gave with the Mr. Miyagi thing, Danielson had to understand that he was learning. You have to understand that burden that you have for the Most High to say that lets you know as a man how you're supposed to love. Mm-hmm. You automatically look at self, just like Mr. Cappy said. You know what I know what my low down self of 40 years have done. It got to a point where it wasn't about mama and daddy not being able to raise me no more. I had to be a man. And I told grandma, you ain't got to worry about helping me get no license. You got to worry. I told her she had to do a lot of stuff that she wanted to do. I told her I'm going to figure it out. Because that was my opportunity not to use no excuses of daddy wasn't there, this, that, other. I wanted manhood. And so what that made me understand is that I needed to get a tutor, just like I would get a tutor for math. And that took dropping pride. That took understanding that I got to get where I want to get. I got to get to the men that are there. Like Mr. Cavi talked about, the examples, looking at the examples, we got to properly pass this baton to the next generation so there's no gaps.
Yes, sir.
The relay is just being all messed up because we're not cleanly passing the baton. We got to pass the baton cleanly, smooth. There's so much. This is the issue with the woman. When you understand her makeup, you understand she's getting messages all day long. Her very anatomy is proof that she's a receiver. You got to give her seed. Not just by sex, but spiritually as well.
Right.
On every level, she's a receiver because she's going to multiply everything. If you don't know her, you're setting yourself up. That's why when men do a lot of complaining, I ask them, well, what did you do?
Right.
Because you ain't going to tell me she busting windows out your car and all that and this, that, and the other. You must got something that you got going on. You taking her through some stuff. She's multiplying something. And so that's why we got to first knock down these messages that come through the serpent, a la the media. All these little games that are being played, they're trying to change faith. They want to change Facebook to a whole nother world, metaverse and all this. We got to understand what's coming. And if a man's not there to bring the logic to the woman's emotions, she'd be done bought all this stuff. And, baby, what you buy this? It was on sale, baby. There's no logic to it. That's why you got to be there so nobody, little shyster try to sell her a car. And, man, you need somebody there. We got to be there. And the best way to be there so you don't make no excuses about, I got broke up because it's that other. Take your time choosing. Take your time choosing. Because many will tell you, you need to be married at this time, it's that other. Look, I'll actually recommend that a man don't even try to get married to 35, 40. Because you've learned the world by then. You've really learned the game. Because a woman knows what marriage is way better than you. If I marry him in this world, modern marriage, if I marry him, I can come out with a bag, a la his child, if I'm not happy. And we're going to call it irreconcilable differences. Mm-hmm. Foolishness.
Yeah.
What I want to say, go ahead. When you're talking about God made man and gave him dominion over everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Including the angels. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And out of all the angels, see, because before he became the devil, he was an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Up there right with God. So he knows how God functioned and stuff. And he was one of, you know, what can I say? One of the few angels that God more or less, you know,
had
a
choice.
Yeah.
He had choice. Just like, okay. Yeah.
So when God told all the angels to bow down to his new creation, Adam, they all bowed down except him. Right? God said, so, you know, looked at him and said, why are you disobeying my command? Right? He said, because of his arrogance. See, arrogance was part of his makeup. Mm-hmm. Right? So you really, as you look at it over time, you really can't fault him for being like that. Because he was created to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Arrogant, selfish, proud. You know what I'm saying? So he say, well, I don't feel that I should have to bow down to this new creation here. Well, I'm, you know, ad-libbing a little bit just to make it,
mm-hmm.
right? But in the scriptures, it says the same thing, but not as many words.
I heard somebody say he saw the playbook.
And he said, you made me better. Right? I'm better. You know, I'm up here with you already. And you made me out of fire, you know, and light and fire and all this here, you know. So I don't, and you took him and you went around and got some sand and dirt from over here and over there and, you know, and mixed it all up and everything and folded and molded and breathed your life and spirit into it, you know, and say mud, dirt and clay, you know, filthy stuff, nasty. Why should I submit to something like that? You know, when I'm made out of light, fire, you know, I'm bright, shining, and I got powers and all like this, right? So he said, okay, all right. He said, well, for your arrogance, you know, and he had to be whispering around to some of the other. See, what a lot of people don't realize, and it takes a lot of study and stuff, you'll find out that there were different groups of angels, right? And so his group, I guess he was considered like the leader. The rest of his angels that were made like him looked up to him, you know. And so God told him, say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to take you and all your little followers that you've been whispering to, and I'm going to put y'all down there in hell forever. So now once he saw what the consequence was of his arrogance, you know, see, because he's smart. He was smart then. He's still smart now.
Yes, sir.
He say, well, listen, I'll tell you what. Before you do that, just give me a chance, right? Give me a chance, and I'm going to show you
mm-hmm.
that you don't know what you done created here.
Mm.
You know, this creature out of dirt and sand and mud and clay, right? See, because I can tell you right now that his offsprings and things, well, at the time, Eve wasn't created then. So, but I'm going to tell you that they're not going to follow your command, just like he was, or rebelling. So they're not going to follow your command, and I'm going to prove it to you. Everyone that you make, right, meaning after Eve and all that, right, say, I'm going to show you. I can talk to them and whisper to them and get them to come follow me. See, I'll be their God instead of you. They'll look to me as God. They'll look to me for when they want things and all that. This material stuff. They'll call on me. I give to them. Yeah, I'm going to give them money, cars, women, mansions.
Come on, teach.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to show them I'm their God. I'm going to make them think I'm the God, not you. He said, okay. He said, before you put me in hell and my followers, give me a chance to show you exactly that you don't know what you done created here.
Hmm.
But God said, okay. Because he, you know, if you ask God for something, he'll give it to you. Something good now. Evil, you're on your own. You got to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
the whisper. I call it the whisper because you say devil and you say Satan and all this. People get all blowed up and stuff. I call him the whisper because the scriptures say he whispers.
Yeah, that's right.
And he tells you himself. He say, like they say, when that day come and you say, well, like they made fun about, say, the devil made me do it. The devil.
Geraldine.
Yeah. The devil going to say, uh-uh, I ain't made you do it. I suggested it to you, but you did it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You can't blame me.
That's what he did to
you.
You got to
blame yourself because you know right from wrong.
Yeah,
it's in your very nature.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? But you chose. Right. See, because we have the choice, which the angels don't have a choice. Oh, they can talk about us, you know, sitting up there looking down on us now. Look at him, they down there talking about, yeah, you see this one? Yeah, I bet you he going to say that. I bet you, right? But they can't do like we do. They can't make a choice. They can't do wrong, you know, because they got to do what's right. And they can only do what God. If they be thinking and looking down and they say, because there is a story, but I ain't going to get into that, about some angels that was gathered around up there looking down on us and saw the stuff we were doing, right? And they were saying, wow, and, you know, during Babylon time, and they were looking down, and, you know, they were doing all kind of wicked stuff. And they were saying, if I was down there, I wouldn't do that, you know. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't affect me, you know, looking at us, adultery, fornication, drinking pot, and all this stuff, right? It's going on right now. Ain't no devil. Right? This ain't nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the story goes, I'm not going to get into it, but God overheard him, and he said, well, okay, I'm going to send y'all down and let you see. I'm going to make you human for a minute and let you have the desires, the cravings, and everything that they got. And y'all say it wouldn't affect you. They were, okay, yeah, my 4 or 5 of them, I don't remember now. But anyway, so you got a picture of how that went. I tell you right now what happened when he sent him down here. But anyway, so man is the head, you know, of the house. He is the priest. But but before man can be the priest, he got to have knowledge.
Come on.
Of what he got to do. You know, I mean, I grew up, you know, and I grew up in the church, a Baptist, and, you know, in Sunday school, I was A-plus in the Sunday school. Scriptures, quoting them, this and that, and everything like that, right? But I didn't learn nothing about how to be the leader. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't taught how to be a man, what to do, what is my responsibility, you know? I'm looking at everybody else. They grow up, they find a woman, they get married, they get children. Some live happy forever. Some get divorced. Some fight. One kill the other. Whatever. What's going on? I'm wondering what's going on. So you got to know knowledge. Knowledge is the key. Now, bear in mind, there's two types of knowledge. There's true knowledge, and there's false knowledge. See, the knowledge of the whisper, it's knowledge too, but it don't exist. But it's knowledge. And the truth is knowledge. But the truth exists. This is the truth right here. This here. Me, you, we the truth, right? Because we exist. We real. Now, false knowledge don't exist. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't touch it, you know. In your mind, you think it's real, but it's an illusion, right? And you run after that illusion. And I used to say, wow, people spend 40, 50, 60 years of their life not even living in reality. You know?
Wow.
You know? They living in that false knowledge that don't exist. They living in an illusion. Like magic, the man makes something disappear, but it got a hole in the floor and fall down. You know, it's a trick. It's an illusion. And when you follow that illusion and that trick, where do you think you're going? What do you think going to happen to you? You don't even must know. I don't even must know because you're living in. I don't even must know where you're living at, in the twilight zone, the outer limits, or in the fourth dimension, or what. So it's up to the parents to get the right knowledge, you know. And I mean, all the religions got truth in them. And they wouldn't exist if they weren't based on truth. Because if they were based on a lie, I could have did that. You know, what are you going to say? So, although the whisper got in the mix now with the ones who was interpreting from one language to another language, I'm going to say this here. I was looking up something, and this man had been searching, you know, for something, and he was educated with the scriptures and all that, this and other stuff like this here, and he just knew that the answer was in the scripture for what he was trying to do. And he searched and searched for years and years, and he went where he said, well, I need to find the original Bible, right? A copy of the original Bible that was in Hebrew, right? Found it. After all this sudden, he finally come up and found the original a Bible that was in Hebrew, right? And he translated. Okay, so you know how Moses and all of them in the scriptures lived 100, 500, 600, 900 years. And they didn't have doctors and all this modern medicine and cures. We got all this in. We can't even make it to 100, Holly. And they ain't had none of this in. They were living 400, 500, 600 years, right? So he said, and he noticed that in one of the strips that Moses was saying about, he asked God something, and God told him to get these oils and put them together, the anointed oil. Because you notice if you look in scripture, you'll see back there where they say, they took that none at all, and they put it on this person. They jumped, whatever. It was cured or whatever. And God said, so God gave Moses the knowledge of what oils to get together, plants or whatever, mix them up and everything, and said, this is the anointed oil. Rub it on them. Let them taste it. Drink it, right? So he stumbled upon these thing, and he noticed that when the Hebrew Bible was translated to Greek, the person that translated it into Greek, one word in there, right, that he mistranslated. When he translated from Hebrew to Greek, it translated to some flower out in the deserts or something, right? I don't know the name, but anyway. And he said, and then when he looked back, he said, wait a minute, in Hebrew, this don't mean,
come on,
that, that particular flower, right, or whatever, right? So then he looked, he said, this is cannabis. And then they translated it into Greek, and it became something else. And out of all the ingredients that he's found in the scriptures, what to make this oil, that oil, the one ingredient he was missing was the cannabis oil. Now, this is thousands of years ago. But anyway, so knowledge. You got and it's up to the father and the mother. The mother is the teacher. But the man, a boy child, can't be a man unless he's looking at a man.
Come on.
You know, unless he got a man, a father, ain't got, you know, I bless the child that got a father and a mother together. Okay. That's got a child, a mother and a father and everything where he can see the difference between the male and the female. And the father can guide him on path of how to be a man, you know, where we do this and she do that, you know. The woman, my understanding, and you know, we got these women liberation moves and all this, yeah, you know, that's the whisper, right? That's the whisper.
He teaches.
Anything
to get him
away from us. Yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
And But the woman, in my understanding, and I've been married several times, and all of them was good marriages. I just happened to live a little, outlive them. She's a queen, so she need a castle, which is a house, an apartment, or whatever. That's her castle. She rules in that inside that those walls. If she want to put a soap over here and a mirror over there, that's her domain. You know, because see, we both man and woman. We both got to have some type. Got to have power and authority over something. So the woman, her power and authority is her castle, the house, the home. Mm-hmm. And she's supposed to make that home a loving, peaceful place for her king, for her husband. So when he come out into the house from out there in the world dealing with the whisper and all them crazy people and them businesses and all that, mm-hmm. and mind bargaining and stuff, when he come home, he's getting away from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
When he come home, he's supposed to come to a paradise.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. he's supposed to come house fire, smelling good, the food ready, or getting ready to cook it, whatever, all that and that. But the idea, the thing is, it's peace there.
Mm-hmm.
Calm, love, happiness, right? And like you say, your children coming, running, jumping on you and all that. That's part of that peace and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So, knowledge is the key.
Okay. What we're going to do, we're going to wrap up, but I know Brother John had something to say. Don't go, Mr. Caffey. We want to get a final word from you, Mr. Caffey. We're going to get a final word, but I know Brother John had something to say.
Woman having the same respect as the man has. You know, in other words, we're supposed to respect the woman just like, because, you know, when we get married, what we say, the better half?
Mm-hmm.
That's common. We say that.
Yeah, we say the better half.
The better half, right. So, no, that's the better half. Now, she's half of you. Now, you know, you ain't got this thing all by yourself. You understand? So, now, she's got her comments and things to take care of also along with you. But the man physically, naturally, he's stronger than her. The strength is stronger. But the man is no stronger. The man, both of them got the same mind. See, actually, in scripture, man and woman means a man means mind. The mind. Everybody got the mind. The female and the male got the minds, the same minds. God gives us equally. Your mind ain't no stronger than hers. Your physical body is stronger, but not the mind. You see, she's your first teacher. She teaches you first before the man teaches you. Isn't that right?
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, yeah. She's his first teacher, so she should have it together. You know, she ain't got it together. You know, you might be messed up. You when Papa come along and try to teach you how to dig the ditch or whatever, you see. You might be doing something else, you know, if you ain't got it together. So the woman, it's the man. When this scripture, I learned years ago, it says that a scholar told us that when it's talking about man, see, because a lot of places in scripture it just mentioned man, you know. They say, well, man, so they got the, what they got these liberated, these women come along and say, well, hey, this is not right. They leaving us out. You know, how come they say talk about where do we come in? So actually, scripture is talking about okay. The first level is like we think about it, but actually, the deeper thing part of scripture is talking about the mind, man's mind and the woman's mind.
Mankind.
That's right. The mind. That's the thing. That's what rules. You see, in the house, anywhere. That's what rules. It's the mind. If it ain't your man ruling, it's her man ruling, you see. So we have to keep that in mind. So now, we talking about being over someone and somebody on us and all that. Well, naturally, you know, you're the strongest. No, so you're in charge physically. But the man, she can think just as good. Sometimes they think better than we do. That's right. Sometimes the woman thinks. I've seen women raise kids and things, but, you know, like you say, the man is always necessary, to, especially when there's boys, because boys, they'll take advantage of a woman, too. You know, you have to be careful. Of that. I've seen that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like
That's
right. They'll take advantage of them. Had a woman scared to say something. Say, well, give me them keys, you know. And, yeah, that's right. I've seen this. I ain't talking.
Oh,
I ain't joking.
Yeah,
I've seen
right,
this.
Right,
I've seen
right.
dudes do this to their mama, their parents. Yeah. And their parents, they don't say it out loud. They have to do what the boys say to them. And that's not right. See, they know that they got the strength, you see, because I was one of my wives. She had a big old boy there. Hell, she had to, you know, say, pick things that she wanted to tell him, you know, and to deal with him until I, you know, stepped up and things like that. So I just wanted to comment on that, that what the brother's saying about, you know, how this function and everything, the functionality and all that. But I just wanted to bring in that point about the mind. God has blessed us all with the same mind. That's equality of sexes, you know, in that point, in that situation. Okay, so that's about it. Now, thank you for letting us talk, and really, I've enjoyed being here tonight, and I've learned, and may the audience learn a little something from us. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brother John. All right. Well, what we're going to do real quick, we're going to go around the room. We want to give a final word, a final thought, but I want to do something real quick. I'm about to put somebody on the spot. Don't run. Don't run. She just about here. I was just going to ask her, did the men teach anything tonight? Did she get anything from the men tonight? Ask her, Brother John. Ask her.
Yeah, we ain't
going to
put it on the mic.
She ran off.
Roll,
she ran off on the
dick. Didn't know she can move that.
Did she know her song? Okay, she said she enjoyed it. All right, cool. All right, I'm gonna let our panelists give us our final thought tonight.
Well, the final thing that all I want to say to all of everybody looking in is only thing I can say. So I'm not discriminating. None of that kind of stuff that the whisper got into me is seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave.
Most
definitely.
Most definitely.
Right on.
With that.
Most definitely. Yeah, from the cradle to the grave.
That's all I got.
Yeah,
to make sure it's good, true knowledge,
yeah,
not
right.
False knowledge.
Knowledge right.
Remember
right.
That.
That's right. That's right. Hey, you know what? Shout out to this brother. This brother, he really just taught. He just taught us a whole lesson right here today. I really learned some stuff. Shout out to you, brother. All right, Dwayne.
All right. First of all, I think I'm grateful to God to have been in shared the room with my elders today.
Absolutely.
I always enjoy picking the brains of the one that came before me. So I'm grateful to the platform. Lord Tyron Joe.
Appreciate it, brother.
Sir. So everybody that's out there, we do thank you for tuning in and giving us an opportunity to just talk about tough subjects. You know, you can't fix nothing if you don't talk about the stuff. And one thing about it, you know, we live in a time where people are so rattled when you speak truth. But one thing I found out through the word is that lies bring people together, and the truth does separate, and that's Bible. So when you see people getting rattled because you're starting to deal with what matters, just understand that. We all have a role to do, and in this day and time, they're trying to push against the roles. They want to encourage the woman to do everything outside the house so that the house is in shambles. They want to push the man to continually be Adam so that we don't step up and be responsible in the ways that we should be. But there were some very good things about Adam. Those three things that he initially did. People think intimacy is sex, but it's not sex at all.
No, sir.
It's everything that you heard in the scriptures before you ever heard about sex. It's what the Most High in Adam had. Even when he slept, he was communing with God in his mind.
Wow.
And to have that, to even have an opportunity to have that with your woman, is a beautiful thing, because Adam was single first. He was a manager of what he had. He was in God's presence, and he cultivated what he had. Once he understood that last vital assignment, that's when Eve came along. That's when the Most High said, I can introduce her to you. So we have to work hard on ourselves so that we're ready for her.
All right, appreciate it, Brother King, Dwayne, appreciate it. Ms. Cappy, grab the mic, Ms. Cappy.
I just want to say, watch as well as pray.
Amen.
And think as a man thinketh in his heart.
So is he.
Be blessed, everybody.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mr. Cappy.
Appreciate everybody. Enjoy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that completes this second. Number two, manhood panel discussion, that completes it. I don't really have too much to say. Come back with us next Thursday. We'll be back next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be talking about holiday dating, okay? We're going to talk about holiday dating because there is a such thing. There's holiday dating is a little bit different than regular traditional dating throughout the year. So we're going to talk about that next Thursday. So I appreciate everybody for tuning in. And with that being said, we'll see you next Thursday. Peace.
Peace.